We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
I gotta tell you, everyone is still reeling from this gun violence, but in New York City last night, something crazy happened. I don't know if you heard about this.
What?
A motorcycle backfired in Times Square, not uncommon, but it caused widespread panic that made people think it was gunshots. They mistook it. So people went running. A lot of Broadway shows were just kind of halted for a bit just to make sure for safety issues. But the country's still kind of dealing with this, and thankfully it's Woke Wednesdays, and we've got Samuel Garrett Pate to come in from Equality California to talk to us about the legal aspects, the political sides of all of this, and how do we even just get somewhere toward the middle where we can pass some common sense gun legislation? How far are we from that? So I'm curious to see what he has to say about it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you talk about the gunshots, allegedly, because when Lisa and I went to the women's soccer game on Saturday, it sounded like gunshots. Turned out it was fireworks.
There's a lot of things that, yes. And then fireworks sound like gunshots.
Yeah.
Gunshots also sound like fireworks.
Yeah. But we were reeling from El Paso earlier in the day. And I know exactly, I was in line and I kind of freaked out for a second.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, it's okay. It's just fireworks. But I feel like that's just what's going to be happening now in America.
I agree. That's
the new
normal.
People are scared.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you know, we also spend a lot of time talking about the crisis at the border, the humanitarian crisis, but also just like the political pieces of it all. So fascinating. Now, life is imitating art, as it often does. Orange is the New Black took it on like straight away, and they have part of their final season having to do with detention centers. Which kind of mirror prisons in some regard. And it's one of the key storylines this year. And one of the young ladies,
Melina Bobadilla.
She'll be joining us. She plays Santos. And she had to learn a whole new Central American Mayan tongue for this character. And it's so groundbreaking because I remember I was like, what is happening here? What a beautiful window into this tragic situation. She attacked that role with such a grace. And so she's going to come in, chat with us about the final season of Orange, but also kind of give us a little insight on what it must be like being an undocumented family here in the States.
Yeah, I will say Orange is the New Black wasn't a show that I watched previously. And so yesterday, especially just to, you know, prepare for Melina, I found myself getting completely just ensued with the show, with the characters, with the storylines, with Melina, even Diane Guerrero, who's phenomenal. She plays. It was so, I was telling you, I texted you last night, I just found myself weeping because the stories are so on point to what is actually happening right now in the world.
Yeah. So we've got about 2 hours before we get into conversation with her. But before we get there, maybe it's time for some news on the beat. So Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, there's shock, there's mourning. And now as we process the recent rash of mass shootings, there is the inevitable political response. Now, President Trump will travel to Ohio and Texas today to visit the communities affected by the weekend's violence. But some local leaders say it would be best if he avoided their grief-stricken cities. Democratic Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley says she wants to meet with Trump, but that his rhetoric regarding race and gun violence has been painful for the community. Democratic presidential hopeful and ex-Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke has flat out said Trump helped create the hatred that led to Saturday's shooting in El Paso. Meanwhile, the battle over gun legislation rages anew. In response to the shootings, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has directed Senate Republicans to come up with options to address gun violence, and party members have expressed interest in a bill to revamp the background check system. However, in Texas, the pendulum is swinging the other way soon. A series of new firearm laws will go into effect there next month, further loosening gun restrictions in a state that's had 4 of the 10 deadliest mass shootings in modern U.S. history. All right, you guys, Santoya Brown was 16 in 2004 when she was sentenced to life in a Tennessee prison for first-degree murder. On Tuesday, she left prison a free woman. Prosecutors said Brown committed a cold-blooded killing when she shot 43-year-old Nashville real estate agent Johnny Allen, who had picked Brown up at a restaurant and driven her to his home. But in the years following her arrest, her complicated story became a rallying cry for judicial reformers and those working to expose child sex trafficking. In 2016, her story exploded on social media, with celebrities including Kim Kardashian West and LeBron James speaking out on her behalf. And then Governor Bill Haslam commuted her sentence earlier this year. All right, you guys, the U.S. ambassador to Russia is calling it quits. John Huntsman turned in his resignation yesterday, fueling speculation that the longtime politician may run for governor in his home state of Utah. However, there may be other factors in play. Last week, Trump and Putin reportedly discussed the need for a new U.S. ambassador in Russia during a phone call. Now, whoever takes Huntsman's place will have to deal with tense and confusing Russia, U.S. relations at a time of election interference fallout, attempted poisonings, and an inscrutable friendship between the country's two leaders. All right, you guys, well, like Poppy Rodriguez said, we have a lot for you this show. It is Woke Wednesday, so we'll be joined by Samuel Garrett Pape. But coming up first, find out what breakout Disney Channel star is coming out as bisexual. This might surprise you. Stick around with the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
So this is really interesting. Did you watch a lot of Disney Channel growing up?
You know what? I didn't.
I didn't. I think I was more of a cartoon guy.
Same. And I was more like a Nickelodeon.
Yes.
Kid.
Maybe it was generational.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that was also like when I was very deep into my cartoon watching.
Yeah.
That was like Rugrats. That was like Rocko's Modern Life.
You
that was Hey Arnold.
A cartoon like, connoisseur.
Listen, if you have questions, I'm the one to ask.
Well, I think the generation after us really enjoyed scripted television, but geared more toward kids. I think we had like Primetime. Yeah. We had like Full House. Like we had like, you know, what else did I have that I remember?
But even Full House was watched by grown-ups.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't.
Like I feel like I don't have strong memories of watching programming about kids my age that was scripted.
What about Home Improvement with Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
I think I watched more family style stuff, but the Disney Channel's exploded. I mean, they created basically Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, but see, then I was too old for Hannah Montana.
I was too old as well.
Still watched it, but I was
but
too old.
But a lot of people, the brand has built a lot of stars, including Dove Cameron. And one of these stars that they've built is this guy named Joshua Rush. Now, he played a gay teen named Cyrus Goodman on Disney Channel series Andy Mac. It's a very popular series on the Disney Channel. Well, he just came out as bisexual on his Twitter account on Tuesday, yesterday. Now, he gained national attention when Andy Mack, when his character on that show came out in 2017, which, by the way, was the first openly gay Disney Channel character. Not the first Disney Channel employee to come out, you know, after, but the first character
right
on the channel. So anyway, in last month's series finale, his character was revealed to be part of the first gay couple on a Disney series. This is profound in a couple ways. One, I would have really enjoyed seeing that as a teenager, not feeling so alone, because I think when you are young now, you have visual examples of what it looks like, and you get to see yourself reflected, and you don't feel so alone or such an outcast, even if you do within your own community. That being said, he wrote first to respond to this tweet as bi. He quickly followed his own response with, first, I win. It's me. I'm bi. Now that I've said it, I have a few more things to rant about. There are more important things to talk about me than me liking a whole bunch of genders. But I do want to share a few things with you guys. He wanted to share what the few things were. He said he told his fans that he thought it was ironic that his character could come out, send a message of empowerment to young LGBTQ plus people, but until that day, he personally hadn't felt the courage to come out.
Yeah, but you know, I think that's the thing, that's why we love acting so much. We get to be somebody that maybe we really kind of are, but are too embarrassed to be. Even if it's, I've played characters where they're very like forward and upfront and even kind of like bitchy.
It's like a part of yourself that you get to tap into.
Yes, definitely. And so that totally makes sense that he was able to find courage through the character and not necessarily for himself.
You know, anyway, he basically went on to say, you know, instead of feeling the courage to tell you today that I am out and a proud bisexual man because of the character I played for 4 years, I feel the courage thinking of all of you who felt emboldened by Cyrus to come out. So good for him. But it also made me think, separate from him, I wonder, like, does that also mean your character's having an affair? This is on other series, like, you know, Grown Up stuff. Would you then be more inclined to maybe try a little affair?
Let me tell you something. I feel like in my own experience with acting, and not even on a level where people are like on series for a couple years.
Sure.
Sometimes when you're so deep in that character, it does start to embody like life imitating art. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if you're an alcoholic in a show, you find more reasons to go home and be like, oh, well, it's just a cocktail. Oh, it's just a drink.
But also people are probably like, oh, I want to have a drink with that one. You know how you are, girl.
Yeah, yeah. Or if there's an affair happening, they are able to. Sometimes it's really hard. You know this better than anybody.
Let me screw up your brain for a second.
Oh, God.
What would it have been like to have been Rue McClanahan Blanche on the Golden Girls? Do you think men were throwing themselves at her because she played the more slutty one on Golden Girls?
Yes, yes. I think that people fall in love with characters as well. They can't differentiate.
I agree.
I mean, we have this conversation with drag
all
queens.
The time, yeah.
When gay men fall in love with drag queens and then they're out of drag and then they're like, no, no, no. They've fallen in love with the character and it's hard for them to date.
Right, yeah. You know, anyway, going back to this fella. He also gave a shout out to the Trevor Project, who we love, the leading national organization that provides crisis intervention to LGBTQ plus people. And if you've never heard of the Trevor Project, and this story is inspiring you to be like, oh, I should get my little teenage gay whatever to watch this show or follow this guy, definitely look up the Trevor Project too, because they do really great work. So listen, congratulations to Joshua Rush for coming out as bisexual. Your toaster is in the mail.
I love that.
Well, that's what we used to, back in the day when people thought gays were recruiting. You know, like when you got recruited for something, they would send you back in the 80s like a toaster for like, thank you for joining a Smart Buyers Club. Here's your toaster. So literally when Ellen came out of the closet on her sitcom, Melissa Etheridge handed her a toaster. Or was it Katie Lang? Yes. Yeah, it was
I'm
like, welcome
to. I'm bringing you a toaster tomorrow.
I'd love it.
Thank you.
What color will it be?
Surprise.
It's a surprise toaster.
It's a surprise toaster. You don't know what it's going to look like yet.
Are we going to toast things in the morning?
Right.
Listen,
morning beat with Michaela J and Toaster.
Well, you are still on this diet with Justin, so we'll have to do it when Justin comes back.
Okay, well, we will. And listen, I've got a story for you. Did Pilates yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Didn't go well.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
You want to get juicy about something? I'm about to give you some good dish.
Give it.
All right, so listen. So before I get to this good dish, you did Pilates for this is the first time? Or you did it years ago and tried to revisit and thinking you were cute?
First of all, I did it years ago.
Okay, but like regularly where you were like, I'm kind of good at this, so it's like, I'll just return to this at some point.
Yeah, like this was like 5 years ago. I was like, I'm really good.
Good.
So then my spray tan girl, who I love, was like, I do Pilates. I love it. You should come to a class with me. And I was like, I'm good. Like, I work out. I'm fine. Thanks. But now we're like on a race to losing weight.
And they say, like, if you lift, you should do things like yoga and Pilates to elongate your muscles while it's good for you.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, okay. So I've been trying to do two-a-days right now because I also in 2 weeks, well, next weekend, have to be in a bikini hosting a pool party.
So did you get the email?
Yeah, I got the email.
So I guess I'm
going. Yeah, I got the email.
Oh, God, I guess I'm
going.
Yeah,
I got the email.
Apparently now I'm going to Las Vegas with Michaela Gordon that weekend as well. I don't know. That'll be an adventure, but we'll see.
Yeah, he's going to have a really good time. Don't let him fool you. So I walk into the Pilates class. Now, mind you, I've already worked out for the day in the morning. I did a little bit more cardio and like HIIT, like how we used to do in plyo. I did it myself.
Right.
I walk into the Pilates class and I'm like, I do not remember this beast of a contraption. It's like a sex
the
trap.
The reformer.
Yeah, fine.
That's
fine.
What they call it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, she looked a little different than she did 5 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, they probably modernized it.
They're
always making improvements on equipment.
It was very nice.
Okay.
So I get in and I'm already very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I start, let me tell you something. I thought I was so strong from lifting and doing really, really
it's
heavy
so
weights.
It's so different when you isolate the muscles the way Pilates does.
First of all, I thought, I like to cry when I'm working out and it feels too hard. Like I cried in spin class.
Did not
it hurts.
Know that that happened.
It's a thing.
Okay.
Because I'm frustrated, I'm irritated, and I want to go, but I know I can't.
Got it.
So I'm up on the reformer, and the Pilates instructor.
You're on your
comes
back,
over.
I'm assuming.
I'm on my feet.
Okay.
I'm bent over doing these. I don't even know what it is, but it's ab work. Like you're holding on and then your feet have to kick out and then you have to kick up. Your body makes a bridge.
Okay, got it.
This Pilates instructor comes behind me, grabs onto my hips,
yeah.
pushes him down because I'm not in the right form.
Yeah.
And then is like, do it now. I swear to God, it took me everything not to cuss him out. I was like, you have physically attacked me. You have verbally attacked me.
Yeah.
I'm sore. My belly hurts today.
That's good. I think those are called abs.
What?
Yeah, it's your core.
Who's she?
Well, now you're in superhero shape.
Yeah.
So listen, on trend with that, Marvel Studios has ended the suspense and announced both the identity of the first openly gay character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and also the actor who's going to play him on screen in The Eternals, which, by the way, I went in for.
What happened?
I signed an NDA. I can't talk about it, but I didn't get the role. Anyway, Richard Madden is his name. He's the acclaimed actor from films like Rocket Man. No, he did not play Elton John. And the HBO series Game of Thrones. It will play Icarus, a 20,000-year-old human augmented with cosmic energy. And Icarus spends a millennia hopping around the galaxy before returning to Earth as a superhero. According to the legend, with the Marvel Universe, the character is actually the dove sent by God after destroying the world in Noah's Ark.
Now, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, okay?
So I feel like the gays and doves, that kind of works hand in hand.
Gays and doves, great partnership. However, even though the Super Marvel hero is now gay, will it entice you now to go see a Marvel movie? Because for me, I feel like...
Well, if it's how will we know he's gay?
I don't know. I don't know. Does he have a boyfriend?
Right. Like, how are... You know what I'm saying? Like, are they referencing it scripted-wise? Are you saying we will now know his sexual preference because he will have a love interest? Like, where are we going with this?
I feel like he has to have a love interest.
You can't tell by the clothing. All these superheroes look a little...
Oh, my God. If they were any tighter... I mean, honey, the clothes are skin tight. I'll say this, though. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'll go see it because I don't go watch Marvel movies anyway.
I don't watch Marvel either. Oh, first of all, let me just tell you something. Casting calls apparently went out to a number of out gay actors to test for this role, including Brian Jordan Alvarez, friends of the show from Wingos, Wilson Cruz, and Conrad Riccamora. Yeah, I don't see my name here.
This is interesting. Put it in. Put it in.
Let me do it.
We write the articles. Do it.
Okay, casting calls also went out to a number of gay actors to test for the role, including Brian Jordan Alvarez, friend of the show, Wilson Cruz, Conroy Riccamora, and, of course, The Morning Beat's J. Rodriguez.
Wow.
Much better. We're better like
yeah.
that.
Oh, my God. I feel like I want to go see the movie now.
Yeah, it flows much better.
You know what happened? I didn't want to see the movie, but now that I know you tested, I'm going to test the movie out.
Let me tell you this. Mm-hmm. As for this lead character, Madden himself, actually off screen, he dated Hollywood female starlets before, but in terms of his sexuality, he don't want to talk about it.
Ooh.
He will not talk about it. He says, he said in a couple of interviews that I keep my personal life personal. He's 32 years old. I've never talked about my relationships.
Okay. It's interesting that you're playing an out superhero. Let me look at his face.
Yeah.
What do I think?
I mean, it could go either way. Not that you could tell by look. Yeah, he's just a handsome, good-looking guy.
Wait, he's handsome. Is that your type?
I don't have a type. No.
I tried to set you up with a guy at the Abbey. How's that going?
Listen, this is the worst thing about Michaela. Pretty much, forget if she's having alcohol. At the end of the day, she wants to see everyone. I love it. By the way, the pictures of this guy, in case you're curious of what this next gay Marvel superhero looks like, are on the website. His name is Madden Richard. I don't know. Who knows? On his Instagram, it's Madden Richard. That being said, Michaela tried to set me up with a bartender at the Abbey.
You're welcome.
It was a nice little happy hour. We're just reconvening, just kind of getting some ideas to talk about here on air. And this young bartender, who probably is like 27 years old.
He wasn't. He was like 31.
Oh, okay. He's 31 years old, was serving us. And
loved Jay. He wanted to go on a date with him, was a big fan, and liked him so much.
Because Michaela said, I think you guys should date. I think you should get a date. He likes you. You like him. Look, I can already tell. You're smiling. He's smiling. She would not stop. And so then he's leaving, has his backpack already closed out with us, buys her drink, not mine. Then it's like, bye, bye, bye. And she goes, he really wants to go on a date with you. And he goes, I'd go on a date with him. So Jeffrey, one for Michaela. One time it actually worked out for her. But he's going to Chicago for 9 days. He's going to Market Days, which is like Pride.
Well, honestly, what we're going to do is we're going to call him now during the break, and I'm going to see where he's been. It's been 3 days, and I want to know where he's at.
I love that you think that he gave me his number.
I have.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
So it is Hump Day Wednesday, but it's also Woke Wednesdays for us here. So we'll be chatting politics this hour. That's right, politics. But later today, I've got to go back to the gym with a personal trainer. Big shout out to Brandon Mills, who kicked my butt on, literally, my actual butt on Monday. I can barely walk. Do you know what it's like to be the host of, like, the morning show on the gay station and be hobbling around these hallways? You know what the other straight people think of me right now?
They're listen, like, same.
Jay had a long night.
Oh, it's different for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
got it.
Literally cannot walk. I wish. And he did say to me, do you have a bathtub? I was like, the standing shower thing in my place. Like, I don't, my roommate does have the tub in the house, so I don't want to use his. To, you know what I'm saying?
Could even maybe go to like a spa and go in the jacuzzi. Just get the water, the hot water around your body.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm never doing that.
I'm like, I'm probably not going to do that.
Let me tell you something. I feel the same way. I did like 7 ab workouts and I can't even bend over. My stomach is on fire.
Is it? Well, that happens. Hey, so I have to do that later today and I don't really, I mean, I want to go because I really enjoy working out. But tomorrow I also have a photo shoot. Stressed out.
Yay!
Thousands of looks I need to prepare and I'm like, I probably still need to go shopping for some things.
Well, do you have time to go shopping today? What is what's the style of the shoot?
Esquire GQ.
Nice. What's it for?
Life. I have all these different interviews and things, and they're always asking for new photos to go inside the article. And lately, no one's really doing photo shoots for that anymore. So you need to provide your own pictures proving that you're fabulous and fantastic and stylish.
That's so great. Well, your body will look great. You look really good, even though you're sore.
We shall see. But that's enough about me. I think it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, there is shock and mourning. And now, as we process the recent rash of mass shootings, there is inevitable political response. President Trump will travel to Ohio and Texas today to visit the communities affected by the weekend's violence. But some local leaders say it would be best if he avoided their grief-stricken cities. Democratic Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley says she wants to meet with Trump, but that his rhetoric regarding race and gun violence has been painful for the community. Democratic presidential hopeful and ex-Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke has flat out said Trump helped create the hatred that led to Saturday's shooting in El Paso. Meanwhile, the battle over gun legislation rages anew. In response to the shootings, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has directed Senate Republicans to come up with options to address gun violence, and party members have expressed interest in a bill to revamp the background check system. However, in Texas, the pendulum is swinging the other way soon. A series of new firearm laws will go into effect there next month, further loosening gun restrictions in a state that's had 4 of the 10 deadliest mass shootings in modern U.S. history. All right, guys. Well, Santoya Brown was 16 in 2004 when she was sentenced to life in a Tennessee prison for first-degree murder. Now, on Tuesday, she left prison a free woman. Prosecutors said Brown committed a cold-blooded killing when she shot 43-year-old Nashville real estate agent Johnny Allen, who had picked Brown up at a restaurant and driven her to his home. But in the years following her arrest, her complicated story became a rallying cry for judicial reformers and those working to expose child sex trafficking. In 2016, her story exploded on social media, with celebrities including Kim Kardashian West and LeBron James speaking out on her behalf. Then Governor Bill Haslam commuted her sentence earlier this year. Okay, guys, but the U.S. and China are suffering by blows from their ever-escalating trade war. Now, the tit-for-tat tariffs have tanked crude oil prices because of fear of a severe global economic slowdown or even a recession in the United States. Some economic experts say China could take the opportunity to buy up vast quantities of oil from Iran in defiance of U.S. sanctions on the OPEC nation, which would cause oil prices to plunge even more. Also, the tariffs President Trump has promised could hit lower and middle income shoppers where it hurts. The new taxes would affect final goods such as clothing, shoes, household goods, and baby products and go into effect at the start of September, just as many families shop for the school new year. All right, guys. Well, one person has died after an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease at a prominent Atlanta hotel. 12 people who stayed at the Sheraton Atlanta contracted the disease, which affects the lungs, and another 61 probable cases have been identified. All the people who were diagnosed had attended a convention at the Atlanta hotel in early July. Legionnaire's disease can be extremely serious and leave patients with long-lasting neurologic and neuromuscular symptoms. About 1 in 10 people who are diagnosed with the disease die from it, according to government reports. Now, the Sheraton at the center of this recent outbreak is voluntarily shut down while outside experts conduct testing. Okay, guys, we just want to remind you that if you do not have the opportunity to listen to us live, just head on over to wearechannelq.com. That way you can download us because we are officially a podcast. You can take us wherever you go on your own time. Now, coming up, we've been talking about Trump and him visiting Dayton and El Paso today, but he's facing a lot of skeptics. So we're going to break it all down with Sam McGarrett-Pate for our Woke Wednesdays coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
Michaela, I'll give you a full American dollar, like a full crisp American dollar bill, if you could name the singer of the Go West song just then.
No!
Part of gay history.
Don't go there.
Come on, you got this. It's a group, 70s group, Go West. They liked a costume.
No.
Village People.
No!
No, okay, well, whatever.
I love the Village People.
But the Pet Shop Boys covering the Village People's Go West, Yo Man, yeah.
Well, I ruined it. I guess I don't get the American dollar. And right now, I'm fine with that because America is really killing me right now. I'm really upset with all the things that are happening.
I know. And, you know, for many of us, we want to get to the bottom of all of the business. And the best way we know how to do that is by bringing in a political genius, Sam McGarrett-Pate from Equality California. He's their communications director. So welcome back, Samuel.
Thank you.
So let's talk about guns in America. That seems to be the topic that is dividing the country, but not really, because a lot of people seem to believe that having some safer gun laws in place would be a good thing.
Sure.
So why hasn't it happened? I think is everyone's
There's the million-dollar question. We're coming off a weekend with two tragic mass shootings, another two, the 249th and 250th this year, in fact. A week before that, we had a shooting in Gilroy, California, up north of where we are right now. So that's three mass shootings in a week, 250 so far this year. I think on the one hand, Americans are rightfully outraged and you know, asking the same questions that both of you just asked, which is, how are we still here? How are we still having these same things happen over and over and over again
with no resolve?
I mean, we watched children be gunned down at Sandy Hook. We watched high school students, children, still children, be gunned down just last year. And what for it? Where have we gone? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have dangerously grown numb to it now.
Yeah.
But I also think part of the problem is that there is not the political will in Congress to stand up to the NRA on the part of Republicans. And while House Democrats under Speaker Pelosi overwhelmingly passed a bipartisan background checks bill, that has gone nowhere in the Senate because Mitch McConnell and Senate Republicans don't have the political courage to stand up to the NRA. Part of that is that the NRA is very powerful.
Why is that? Is it just because they have a lot of money?
They have a lot of money. They have a lot of influence in Republican
politics.
In Republican-based politics. But here's the other problem. The other problem is that at the end of the day, this issue is portrayed as one where the right wants less gun control and opposes any sort of gun safety laws, and the left wants gun safety laws. And in reality, that's not what any of the polls show. You have a very, very, very small minority of people who oppose common sense gun safety laws, and you have the overwhelming majority of Americans who support them.
Well, because
it's not a two sides thing. It's a everyone against this very vocal small minority.
Well, because my question is, listen, and I'll say this myself. Do I think everyone should have their guns taken away? No. If you've got like guns that you're licensed for, all of that, it's the AR-15s, the AK, for all of those guns that are literally killing people in a matter of a minute, like what happened in Dayton, where 9 people died in less than a minute because of a gun that literally has no business being on the streets or being sold.
Right. And so the president today is going to El Paso and Dayton to visit.
I'm sorry, that makes me laugh because I'm like, oof.
Yeah, if he remembers that it is indeed Dayton and not Toledo. But so he is going there to visit with law enforcement, visit with those communities. He says try to heal them. Especially in the case of El Paso, where the shooter was at least in part motivated by anti-immigrant, anti-Latino sentiments
that literally
many
Trump
of which
had,
come from the president.
In that rally, I think he had in El Paso, he had some good sound bites against Latinos at that point.
Well, and that killer of El Paso also said there's just no peaceful way to do it anymore. He felt like this is the way it just needed to be done, was to just go in and kill them.
Right.
Like
so the president's rhetoric and you know, white supremacist rhetoric that comes from him and comes from his supporters contributed to that shooting. It's hard to imagine how in the world he could bring healing to that community. But made some news as he was leaving the White House this morning when he once again reiterated that he does now support background checks, which is news. But, you know, look, we all have to have a healthy dose of skepticism. We've been here before. This president specifically has come out and said that he wants to expand background checks and then spoke with the NRA and backtracked. So that happened after the Parkland shooting last year.
Are we at all kind of shocked that he did mention white supremacy? Because one of his big things against Obama was for Obama to use the phrase radical Islamic terrorism. And now Trump did say white supremacy, or at least denounce it very clearly.
Right. So on Monday, when he spoke at the White House, and then again this morning, he did condemn white supremacy. Monday, it was very clear that he was reading a speech written for him.
Teleprompter.
We know enough about different people within the White House that we can probably guess it wasn't written by his anti-immigrant aide, Stephen Miller. Mm-hmm. It was probably written by someone else. This morning, he seemed to, I wouldn't say backtrack from it, but he muddied it a bit.
Well,
this morning, as he was leaving the White House, he was again asked about white supremacy and whether he thinks he contributed to white supremacy. And he said, look, I'm against white supremacy and any type of supremacy. There is no other type of supremacy, Mr. President. The only type of supremacy that is on the rise and contributing to violence in America is white supremacy. So it seemed to almost harken back to you know, his remarks after Charlottesville, where he talked about both sides and seemed to sort of equivocate.
Well, I think it's interesting, and it's a conversation that I want to continue talking about, because commentators like Tucker Carlson are saying that white supremacy is a hoax, and that really is Trump's fan base. I want to know where he's coming from that. Also, we're going to talk about the debates and where we stand, what's going on with our presidential candidates. So stick around with the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
It's Woke Wednesdays with Sammy Garrett Pate today here on The Morning Beat. And we were just talking about the big gun debate. So I know there's a bill on the floor that's got bipartisan support. Do we think there'll be any movement there?
So this is the bipartisan background checks bill that the House passed a number of months ago. It is, the lead sponsor is Congressman Mike Thompson from California. Not to throw cold water on this. It has passed the House.
Right.
Not to throw cold water on this. This is a bill that was first introduced. It is bipartisan since the beginning. First introduced when I worked on Capitol Hill in 2013, when we were trying to act in the aftermath of Sandy Hook, and we couldn't get it done then.
Wow.
So support bipartisan background checks. I think, you know, any time that we can hopefully come together as a country and get this done and finally put pressure enough pressure on Congress to force their hand, I'm all for it. I want to be optimistic. I don't think it's healthy for us to become numb to these shootings.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, like, just like climate change, this is about us acting in the interest of our own survival.
Sure.
Parents are getting ready to send their kids back to school.
Yeah,
in the next few weeks.
Backpacks on the market that are bulletproof.
Yeah. So yes, they need to act. The bill has passed the House. President Trump said as recently as this morning that he wants to do something big on background checks. It is now up to people to put pressure on Mitch McConnell and Republican members of the Senate to finally do something. And I think that if Republicans again refuse to act, I think this will be a big issue in the 2020 election. And this is not me making this a partisan issue.
Well, I just
or
feel like
making it political. It is political. At the end of the day, Congress is political. They choose to act on something or they choose not to. We didn't make this any more political than the NRA made it by saying that if they go ahead and move these bills forward, they're gonna get their revenge on Republicans.
I just think it's difficult that we have the idea that Republicans are going to actually do something about it when they're still saying things like white supremacy is a hoax, or they are blaming it simply and only on video games, or they're only blaming it on the people and not the guns or mental illnesses. I mean, it's been a big problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the hope is that someday there will be enough Republicans who will stand. I mean, look, again, this passed with bipartisan support in the House. Mm-hmm. Just the other day, after the Dayton shooting, Congressman Mike Turner in Ohio, who represents Dayton, his daughter was feet away from the shooting in Dayton. He has a 100% rating from the NRA. He completely switched his positions on guns in the wake of that shooting. It shouldn't take that, but sometimes it does. And I think that I'm not saying we have to be unreasonably optimistic. If I think that we need to put as much pressure as possible on our members of Congress to act. And when they don't, then we do. I mean, President Obama, after the background checks bill failed in the Senate, in the wake of Sandy Hook, President Obama charged Americans with, look, if this outrages you, if this pisses you off, then become a single issue voter. Mm-hmm. Vote on guns. If your candidate does not support your position on guns, don't vote for them. Vote for someone else. Find someone who does. And I think we saw guns as a big issue in the 2018 election. I think we could see it become an even bigger issue in the 2020 election because it unites Americans. It's not a divisive issue like healthcare. I'm not discounting healthcare. Healthcare is an important issue. But the country is still pretty divided on healthcare. The country's not divided on guns. The media portrays us as divided, but we're not. You know, an overwhelming majority of gun owners, of NRA members, supports background checks.
How does that play into 2020 then? For all these candidates, I mean, this seems like this is going to be a big issue. And after these most recent debates, who do you think is still going to be left in the ring to move forward with the next debates and maybe take on this issue?
Right. So right now, there's sort of a top tier group of candidates who have already qualified for the next debates on September 12th and 13th. You know, your Kamala Harris, your Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, Andrew Yang, a few others. Andrew Yang's right on the cusp of qualifying. So I do think we're going to see a smaller field. I think there's a question of whether it remains 10, in which case we could have a single night debate, or if it goes above 10, then they're going to have to do the two nights again because the DNC adopted rules that they could only have 10 candidates on stage. Either way, we are going to see the field shrink coming into these next debates. I think that's a welcome news for all of us who want to see each candidate have a little bit more time to answer every question and really dive into these issues rather than just having 30 seconds to do stuff. But I think that this needs to be the top issue in the 2020 elections if we're going to get anything done. We need to show the people who are running for office that we want to live, that we don't want to have 250 mass shootings.
The cry of the South Florida Parkland High students, you know, it's like, it's crazy. When we come back, the conversation continues with Sammy Garrett Pate. You know, rounding things out in this discussion is never easy, but we're going to hit some of the issues that are definitely on your mind, so keep it locked here.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
It's Woke Wednesdays. We bring in Samuel Garrett Page, Communications Director for Equality California, to unpack the political headlines that have us a little puzzled. Like, what the heck happened after the 2020 Democratic debates? What did the polls say, Samuel, and where do we stand now?
Yeah, so four new national polls have come out in the wake of last week's debates. Bottom line is Elizabeth Warren had a great performance, and saw a rise in the polls. Kamala Harris had not as great a performance as her first round and saw a little bit of a dip in the polls.
Devastating.
And basically everything else remains unchanged. Mm-hmm. Look, at the end of the day, the big thing that we see here is a separation between this emerging top tier of candidates and candidates who are polling at 0 or 1% and probably don't have the staying power, especially, you know, those who are not going to make the next round of debates. I think one thing that I found surprising, Cory Booker got a lot of praise for his performance in that second night debate last week. No real impact on the polls. He didn't see a bump in any of those four polls.
There was a lot of language, though, that was said, and we both watched the debates. There was a lot of things that, even though some of the candidates may not make it any further, they made some interesting and valid points that I wonder if some of the leading candidates will take with them. Points that resonated with the American people that will maybe become part of the more national conversation.
Absolutely. You know, it's like sports, right? They're going back, they're watching tape of themselves, they're watching tapes of their opponents.
Yeah.
They're listening to the things that played well with the audience or played well, you know, played well with focus groups that were being conducted at the same time. And of course they're gonna learn from both their own mistakes, their mm-hmm. own successes, and also those of their opponents. I think again, we are seeing a top tier, though, that includes former Vice President Joe Biden, California Senator Kamala Harris, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, and Mayor Pete Buttigieg of South Bend, Indiana. That is your top tier. The other three that are not in that top tier, but have already qualified for the next debate, mm-hmm. and therefore may have some more staying power, have at least one more opportunity to sort of break into that top tier, are New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, and former Congressman of El Paso, Texas, Beto O'Rourke.
I have a question for you, because I just find this whole thing so fascinating. It's gone from like berserk and weird to like maybe it's working for her. Did Marianne Williamson qualify?
No, she has not qualified yet.
Okay.
For the next round.
When do we know?
To be clear, she has not qualified. So there are two things that you have to do. One is that you have to have at least 130,000 unique donors, individual donors,
oh, wow.
all across the country. They raised the threshold from the previous threshold for the other two debates. That's why we have a smaller field.
Is it 130 more than they originally had?
No, it's 130,000 total. And then you also have to poll at least 2% in four qualifying polls. Now, we have businessman Andrew Yang and former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Julian Castro. Those two of them have reached their fundraising threshold and have each received at least 2% in three of their four necessary polls.
Oh, so they're close.
The two of them are right on the cusp of breaking into that next round. If they did, then you would have exactly 10 candidates in the next round of debates, which you could hold it on one night. Tulsi Gabbard, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, has also reached her fundraising threshold, and she has two qualifying polls. So, you know, it is conceivable that she could make it into that next round debate as well. If we get to 11, DNC rules say they have to split the debates into two nights. There are some others that are sort of right on that cusp, But, you know, look, September 12th and 13th still seem far away. There's more than a month to go. There is a deadline before that. It's not that they have to do it before
happen.
That night.
Yeah.
A lot could happen, certainly. But I think that especially because we didn't see any of the other candidates break through in those debates, that last round of debates last week, there really aren't that many other opportunities for these candidates to get in front of a national audience and really have a breakthrough moment than these debates. So I think we could see a two-night debate. I think it's actually, frankly, more likely that Andrew Yang and Julian Castro will make it into the next round, and we'll just have a single night 10-person debate. But we'll see.
All right. Well, this is always so fascinating. Sam McGarrett Pay, we love when you come in. We'll see you next Wednesday. Keep it locked here because we are bringing in a special guest. That's right. It's Orange is the New Black final season, and the young lady who plays Santos will be joining us live. And you can stay, Melina Bobadilla, tackling issues about undocumented families here in the U.S. That's what she plays on the show, and we'll be talking about it next.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
All right, my legs are still quite numb from the brutal workout that Brandon Mills gave me. I have another one today, and I'm actually kind of like half excited because I have a photo shoot tomorrow, so I want to look a little swole, but also I can barely walk.
What's today, chest, arms?
I think he's doing lower body Mondays, Wednesday upper body, and then full body Fridays.
Well, let me tell you something. I did Pilates yesterday, and I told you, like, I don't really do any ab work. I'm kind of lazy. Like, I don't want to plank. I don't want to do any of that. The Pilates reformer machine and myself had an entire argument yesterday for an hour where it pushed and pulled my body, but specifically my stomach. I feel like I have a stomach ache today.
But
it hurts so bad.
You just said that you never do abs.
I never do.
And you just all of a sudden thought that you'd have a magic tummy, flat tummy just from other, just... Cause?
No, I didn't even think I did. I just knew that this is what it was.
I remember you said that was your goal.
To have a flatter belly?
Yeah.
But a lot of it is because of your diet. So I just assumed
not
the right
ab
diet.
Part.
Really? You still have to do sit-ups?
Sad but true.
That's shady.
Isn't that horrible?
So even if I eat clean and I do squats, we still have to do ab work.
You'll have squats with a nice little soft pooch, yes.
And then people think my butt's faked.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like, her stomach's flabby.
But also, you have to do lower back, too. Like, raise your... Because you have to even it out and strengthen your core on all sides. And that gives you that nice little...
Okay, during the break, you can show me some lower back workouts.
Brilliant.
Didn't know that that was a thing. Also, Lisa yesterday low-key told me I had gained weight and I lost it. In one sentence, she said, you really looked like you had actually gained weight and now you've lost weight. Good job. And I was like, did you just say it?
Well, I think you say it so often, she was probably repeating it to validate your experience.
No, but I was kind of impressed. Like, I was like, wow, Lisa, like, I hate you, but also way to go.
Well,
pleased.
Listen, hey, if that's your goal, I mean, you feel like you're really achieving some things, right?
Yeah, I do.
Good. All right. Well, this hour, we are so thrilled because we're going to have a really great actor who is just fantastic from Orange is the New Black. This season, if you've seen it, you know that they're tackling some really heavy issues, including the existence of Lynchfield's new ICE detention facility. And Melina is our guest. She's Melina Bobadilla. She plays Santos on this. And basically, her character is a Central American migrant woman who only speaks her native tongue, which is a Mayan tongue that no one in the facility speaks. So imagine trying to be, you're in a detention center and you can't communicate. So I want to talk to her about taking on that role, being a part of the final season, and also the implications of what it is like to be an immigrant family in America, because she's a series on Apple Plus about that very topic. But before we get there, it's time for some news on the beat. So Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, there's shock and mourning. And now as we process the recent rash of mass shootings, there is the inevitable political response. Now, President Trump, this is breaking news, has just arrived in Dayton after the mass shooting, but then he will also travel to Texas today to visit the communities affected by the weekend's violence. But some local leaders say it would be best if he just avoided their grief-stricken cities. Democratic Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley says she wants to meet with Trump, but that his rhetoric regarding race and gun violence has been painful for the community. Democratic presidential hopeful and ex-Texas Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke has flat out said Trump helped create the hatred that led to Saturday's shooting in El Paso. Meanwhile, the battle over gun legislation rages anew. In response to the shooting, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has directed Senate Republicans to come up with options to address gun violence, and party members have expressed interest in a bill to revamp the background check system. However, in Texas, the pendulum is swinging the other way. Soon, a series of new firearm laws will go into effect there next month, further loosening gun restrictions in a state that's had four of the 10 deadliest mass shootings in modern U.S. history. All right, you guys, this story is incredible and one I've been waiting to tell. Centoya Brown was 16 in 2004 when she was sentenced to life in a Tennessee prison for first-degree murder. On Tuesday, she left prison a free woman. Prosecutors said Brown committed a cold-blooded killing when she shot 43-year-old Nashville real estate agent Johnny Allen, who had picked Brown up at a restaurant and driven her to his home. But in the years following her arrest, her complicated story became a rallying cry for judicial reformers and those working to expose child sex trafficking. In 2016, her story exploded on social media, with celebrities including Kim Kardashian West and LeBron James speaking out on her behalf. Then Governor Bill Haslam commuted her sentence earlier this year. All right, you guys. Well, we want to remind you that if you have a smart speaker, all you have to do is say, "Hey, Alexa, play Channel Q on radio.com. And then that way you can listen to us hands-free wherever you go. Now, like Poppy Rodriguez said, I'm so excited because coming up, we have a very special guest, not only special, but very, very important to discuss right now, considering our social climate. Melina Bobadilla, the star of Orange is the New Black, will be joining us to talk about the character that she plays and also what is happening. What is wrong with me right now? And what is going on with her career as well? Stick around with the new Channel Q.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. We are so thrilled to have in studio now a young woman who's really making huge strides in the world of acting, but specifically because she joined the cast of Orange is the New Black during their highly coveted final season. Now, her role was one that really caused a lot of viewers to be really quite emotional because she plays an inmate, well, sort of an inmate, not really, but basically she ends up in an ICE detention facility at Lynchfield and takes the show in quite a new direction because her character can't speak English. She does not speak Spanish. She actually speaks a Mayan language, which Melina did learn. So please welcome to the Morning Beat, Melina Bobadilla. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hi, beauty. Hey.
Good morning.
I have to just tell you quickly, I hadn't stayed on top of Orange is the New Black for all the seasons. And Jay said, you know, just watch. It's really important, this specific part. I got drowned, sucked in so deeply. I was so emotional. I even took it in this morning with me.
She couldn't stop talking about this morning.
I couldn't stop. How was it being a part of the final season of Orange is the New Black?
You know, I keep using the word surreal because I think that's really the word that defines it best. I mean, I've been a huge fan of the show ever since season one, and I think it started 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. And it was really at the forefront of this whole binge-watching phenomenon,
right? It really
was.
I told you, you've seen it. I was like, I literally could. I didn't leave the house for 2 days. Yeah. I just got to get all the way through. Yeah,
that's usually what I do. Like, every other season, I would do that. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, okay, don't talk to me. Or, like, I'd, like, silence my phone. You know, but being that I was a part of it this season, and I got the opportunity to go out to New York to be there on the red carpet for the premiere, you know, I was kind of tired. I didn't binge watch when I came right back. I needed to sleep because doing red carpet glam is very exhausting.
Ma'am. It's so
exhausting. Wait, are you somebody that can watch yourself on camera, or does it make you nervous?
It doesn't make me nervous, but I do watch myself, I guess, with a critical eye.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, okay, I remember taping this particular scene, and I had coached with my acting coach, and I prepared. And so I watched myself to see if everything came across that I wanted, or if I hit certain moments that I, you know, that I wanted to convey. So,
break it down for those who haven't caught up or they're now trying to backtrack.
Mm-hmm.
You play a character named Santos, mm-hmm. who is from Central America, and she ends up in being detained essentially by ICE,
right,
but can't communicate when she's at Litchfield because she doesn't speak English or Spanish, and that's all that's offered to her in terms of communication.
Right. She speaks a language, it's a Mayan language called Quiche, and actually in Guatemala, where she's from, she's from Altiplano, Guatemala, which is like the highlands, and she's from a rural area. There's upwards of 40-ish different Mayan languages.
Wow, you know, yeah.
So, and I think it's a really important storyline because we know that there are large numbers of people from Mexico, from Centroamerica, coming to the United States to escape violence, to escape economic oppression. Whatever the reason they may be, no one takes that journey lightly.
Yeah.
And no one does it without knowing the risks. And when you think about that, if someone does it while knowing the risks and the dangers and they still do it, that's out of survival.
Did you know you'd have to learn this new language for the role? Like, and how did they audition you? Since you wouldn't be speaking English.
So when I got the audition breakdown, my manager sent it to me and he was like, was this the language you used that one time in that one play? And I'm like, yes, but I don't know it. And he's like, well, they want people to translate. They want someone fluent. And I was like, good luck.
Listen, I speak Spanish like J-Lo before Mark Anthony. I'm panicked when I have to go in for a Spanish audition, but I coach and I try to figure it out. So is that what you did there?
Well, you know, connects back to the character, the fact that there's not a lot of people that are totally fluent in this language.
Yeah.
First of all, in the United States, and second of all, that are connected to the industry. Exist in a bubble. So I reached out to my networks of, like, I know folks that are activists or immigration lawyers, and then here's the kicker. They wanted me to translate it within, like, less than 48 hours.
Oh, my God.
So everyone was like, oh, I know someone, a primo, a tia de fulano. And I was like, yeah, but I need it, like, you know, tomorrow night at the latest.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really wanted to be respectful of the language and the culture and not hodgepodge together, you know, sounds that I didn't know. So there was two or three words that I did remember from this play that I had done with El Teatro Campesino. And I put them at the beginning and then I just said, you know what, she's going to speak Spanish in the audition.
Mm-hmm.
And if they connect with the truth that I give her, the heart that I give her, then, you know, this is Netflix. This is
Orange Is the New Black. Yeah, yeah.
We got a translator. So they were sending me the phonetic Quiche translations and the translator would record themselves saying everything perfectly. So I was just listening to it and learning it.
This is so interesting to me. And one thing that really had me all in my feels was there was a particular scene that I won't share, but that we see of Santos as she's trying to come and before she gets into the detention center.
Where she's met with the people who were basically, you had paid to get into the U.S. They kind of threw a little loophole, catch.
Then a bomb drops that I also won't share that we weren't anticipating.
Right.
How was it working on such high emotional scenes, particularly because it is the truth of what the social climate is right now?
You know, as an actor, first and foremost, these are the kind of experiences that we crave. A really complex, layered, difficult character to sink our teeth into. But separately from that, I'm Latina. I identify as Chicana. My parents were born in Mexico and they came here at a young age. And I have the immense privilege to walk around with a U.S. passport and U.S. citizenship. But why was I able to wear different clothes and step into different shoes and still visually portray the reality of this woman? Because I am essentially that. We have a different of circumstance. Like, I have brown skin. I've been separated, you know, from my indigenous ancestry and, like, really knowing all of the intricacies and the details. And I don't speak an indigenous language, but there is a tie that binds us. And you know, going back to what your question was, I saw that taking on this role as really an honor and a solemn responsibility, because this is happening. There are thousands of Santos, women out there.
And to that point, yeah. I want to actually go into a little more depth with that, because you have a new Apple Plus series called mm-hmm. Little America, which actually goes behind the scenes of immigrant families in America. So with that and also your portrayal of Santos, I want to go into further of what the experience is for immigrant families here in America, because I'm sure people have reached out that have been incredibly moved as we have. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that and a lot more. So keep it here with Melina Bobadilla when we come back from the break.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Today is a very special day because we have the new breakout star of the final season of Orange is the New Black, Melina Bobadilla. She plays a woman named Santos, who is a Central American migrant woman. She's detained by ICE and then ends up in Lynchfield Penitentiary. Her experience there is heightened by the fact that she doesn't speak English, nor does she speak Spanish. She, in fact, speaks a Mayan tongue. And it brought up the conversation about immigration, about being an immigrant and being an American and living in America. You've certainly have had a window in with your upcoming series. I know you can't talk much about mm-hmm. it, but the Apple Plus series that we've read about called Little America. But between Little America and playing Santos, mm-hmm. what are your takeaways from the experience of being, you know, of families who have immigrated here, where we are now with, like Michaela says, the cultural climate we're all in with this border crisis and all.
Right. I think, you know, I come from a background of, in addition to being an actor, being an educator, working primarily with youth of color, both in New York when I was going to grad school out there in Brooklyn, and then here in Los Angeles, I would say like 95% of my students were Mexican, Central American, Caribbean, and many of them grew up with this experience of having immigrant parents. Some were documented, some were not. And so I feel like my connection in community has always been in solidarity, as an ally. Mm-hmm. Yes, going to marches. Yes, doing phone banking. And like I said earlier, you know, my parents came here from Mexico when they were like 10 and 13, respectively. So I'm officially first generation, but it's almost like I'm 1.5 generation because they did grow up here. They grew up in the East LA area and they learned English. And, you know, they, especially, you know, I want to shout out my mom's side of the family, my grandparents. They were so, they put so much emphasis on education, but not all immigrant experiences are the same. Right. And I always want to make sure that we don't only uplift or celebrate, you know, a model immigrant or an immigrant that makes a certain amount of money or that owns a business, because not everyone has that pathway to success. And I think at the very end of the day, we have to look at what's going on in our country right now as a human rights crisis. This is a human rights issue. Humans are risking their lives, and we've seen, sadly, so often losing their lives to make this perilous journey. No one does it because of the simplified idea of like what the American dream is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's something different for everyone. I think before you can dream, I think you kind of have to have your basic needs met as right. a human and have that dignity restored and survive. And so once you have all of that, then the possibilities are endless. But no one's coming here to, quote unquote, take jobs, mm-hmm. you know, to, I mean, any number of the ridiculous things that you yeah. hear coming out of that administration. I don't even want to name him.
Well, it's interesting. If you guys are just tuning in, we're with Melina Bobadilla. She is on Orange is the New Black. Now, for somebody like myself, you know, I want to consider that I'm woke and I like understand what's going on and I'm trying to help. But a lot of things I took yesterday that I did not know were really happening mm-hmm. from some of the series is that there's a point where one of the characters is trying to give the girls a number
yes.
so that they can have an attorney, that somebody can represent them.
Right.
There was another part of the show where the one of the women is calling her two sons and basically essentially saying her goodbyes.
Right.
There's another part where you see, you know, that they're trying to come to America and they have to pay an additional toll and they don't have any money. I mean, it goes really deep and it's really difficult. And I think that's probably the lighter side right. of what's actually happening. Are there things that we can do? Are there things that we just as human beings can help other human beings with? Because I just can't imagine being a mother.
She came in here so like this morning was like so distraught over this. Like,
yeah.
Because we think reporting on the story, but seeing them told the way storytellers such as yourself are able to tell? I mean, it really rattled you. I've never seen you like chicken this morning.
Yeah, because I'm a woman. You know what I'm saying? And you're a woman. And I think I can't imagine a mother having to say goodbye to her children or crossing all of these different lengths and places and hungry and tired and having no money and still not being able to get her children safe. Like, it's intense. And that's people's lives.
So how do you think allies are people who are equally moved by your performance and this series and this overall theme can help?
Yeah. So I'm someone that thinks that I think our movement and our solidarity is most powerful when we attack the problem from all different directions, right? From there's really no wrong way. I think some people are really into, or not, I wouldn't say into, like it's a fad, but some people are very organized when it comes to like calling the representatives, calling senators, calling the House, even the local representatives. But I think that with the gravity of this situation, something that frustrates me is that the wheels aren't turning fast enough, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of resistance, especially with the Senate. Thank goodness now that we, the House of Representatives went blue, and we have amazing, really progressive women out there. I mean, like AOC, I think
sure.
I find her amazing.
A lot of folks, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, and so there's people that are speaking truth to power, and I think that's one of the most important things we can do to not be silent, to learn really the roots of these issues. And also, money goes a long way. There's a lot of organizations out there that are doing this on the ground work, that are providing legal help, that are providing humanitarian help. One of the things that I learned is that it's very difficult as an individual to just go into a detention center, because I was like, you know what? I want to go in there. Like, mm-hmm. I want to go in. I will stay at a janky motel, you know, a few miles away, and I will go in and bear witness, and even just to have like conversations, to get information, to try and connect with their family members. I can't do that. Wow. I literally cannot. I have to go in with an organization.
Wow.
But I think, you know, there's places like Raices, Texas, Mi Gente, National Immigration Law Center. If you check out my Instagram, I have a post on there where I listed about 15 different organizations.
We'll share that on our WeAreChannelQ.com. Yeah. Well, there's never enough time with you. Please come back whenever you want. By the way, make sure she's got an upcoming series on Netflix. Is it a movie?
Yes, it's a movie.
With Meryl Streep called
The
Laundromat.
Come on, star.
If you can give us like a soundbite of what The Laundromat is about, what's that movie?
Yeah, so The Laundromat is about rich people who were doing real stupid, shady things and thought they could get away with it. The Panama Papers.
I can't wait.
So it's a real life story. Antonio Banderas, Meryl Streep, Gary Oldman, and somehow I got to share the screen with them.
So that is Netflix Laundromat, and of course, Apple TV series The Little America. If you've not seen Orange is the New Black, you can binge it now on Netflix. Melina, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much. Beautiful. We appreciate you. Everything you're doing, you're phenomenal. All the best to you. Stick around with the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
We are back here on The Morning Beat. It is one of those times where I got to tell you, I'm still reeling from that awesome interview with our fabulous friend, Melina.
Yeah, first of all, she was incredible. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
And just what a pleasure to have the chance to be able to interview her, really.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I have to say, you know, one of these times, we're going to end up getting a star in here who's going to be a real diva, but she was certainly not one of them. You know, having a breakout role and having a sense of responsibility for the content that you're producing has got to be always so tricky.
1,000%.
And so for me, I'm super thrilled that she came in and joined us.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. The new Channel Q.
I'm going to the Billboard Pride Awards tomorrow night.
Ooh, word.
And I have an event with World of Wonder on Friday. You guys know them from Drag Race. She's busy.
She's working.
So I'm probably going to do some ab work. so I can look. And I still can't believe that. I've gone 31 years and never thought you had to do a sit-up to get abs. I thought it was clean eating.
By the way, I love that you're going to the Billboard Pride thing because I was like, it's past my bedtime.
Yeah, but you know me, girl. She's trying to
get
keep home singing, so she got
you should
go.
Be a presenter. You should tell them that we report on their stories and we love Billboard Pride.
Oh my God, I will. Yeah, I would have loved to have been.
And do we know who's not? It's like a nomination thing and people get awards? No.
I don't know. I'm just going. I'm excited to go. I'm bringing Daddy Lisa.
Fun.
Daddy Lisa's tooth is healed up. Daddy Lisa had to get a tooth pulled.
Uh-huh. How'd it go?
It's, well, she's in a lot of pain.
So what'd they put in there? Chiclet?
I wish. It'd be so much cheaper.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be over a couple months situation.
Yeah,
there's
yeah, yeah.
stitches in there right now. I know. It's like, hello, you're ruining my sex life.
Oh,
I don't
God,
get
yeah.
it together.
So what's going on with the World of Wonder thing? Can you share? Or is it something we know about?
You know Franz. Franz Soni is a phenomenal artist. He does a lot of work with Dita Von Teese. He's just a beautiful artist. So he's doing a show along with World of Wonder, and he invited
like an art
me
show,
to go, like a great art show.
Fantastic.
Yes. And he's going to end up doing some work for me later this year. So
okay, work.
It's gonna be cute, girl.
All right. Well, I guess with that being said, it's time for some news on the beat. So Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, there's shock and mourning, and now we process the recent rash of mass shootings because there is an inevitable political response. President Trump has landed in Dayton, Ohio, and then will travel to Texas today to visit the communities affected by the weekend's violence. But some local leaders say it'd be best if he'd avoided their grief-stricken cities. Democratic Dayton Mayor Nan Wally says she wants to meet with Trump, but that his rhetoric regarding race and gun violence has been painful for the community. Now, Democratic presidential hopeful and ex-Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke has flat-out said Trump helped create the hatred that led to Saturday's shooting in El Paso. Meanwhile, the battle over gun legislation rages anew. Now, in response to the shootings, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has directed Senate Republicans to come up with options to address gun violence, and party members have expressed interest in a bill to revamp the background check system. However, in Texas, the pendulum is swinging the other way soon because a series of new firearm laws will go into effect there next month, further loosening gun restrictions in a state that's had four of the deadliest mass shootings in modern U.S. history. Okay, guys, this news is breaking. Centoya Brown was 16 in 2004 when she was sentenced to a life in a Tennessee prison for first-degree murder. Now, on Tuesday, she left the prison a free woman. Prosecutors said Brown committed a cold-blooded killing when she was shot. When she shot 43-year-old Nashville real estate agent Johnny Allen, who had picked Brown up at a restaurant and driven her to his home. But in the years following her arrest, her complicated story became a rallying cry for judicial reformers and those working to expose child sex trafficking. Now, in 2016, her story exploded on social media, with celebrities including Kim Kardashian West and LeBron James speaking out on her behalf. Then Governor Bill Haslam commuted her sentence earlier this year.
Can I ask you a question? What would you be your first thing to do if you got out of prison?
Oh my God, that's such a good question.
For you personally?
I'd go eat.
Yeah, like a nice meal.
Like a phenomenal, delicious meal.
What genre?
Italian pasta.
I knew it. The kind you like.
You know the one I like.
With the garlic and the pepper flakes and the... Oh, wow.
Yes. And then I take the longest bath shower of my life.
You go to spa, like, scrub me. Scrub me good.
Give me a good scrub while I'm eating the pasta. I'm in the little Korean spa getting scrubbed.
That would be so fun, though. Yeah. I mean, terrible to have to be served time, but anyway.
Imagine the appreciation of life after you finally get out.
There you go. All right, well, it's time to step away for a hot second, but keep it locked here because we're going to have a conversation about the new Marvel movie and who might be starring in it. Hint, hint, it might be me. Or maybe it won't be me.
Maybe.
We'll discuss.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
This may be shocking, but Monica Lewinsky is now a Hollywood producer.
So happy.
Okay, here's how this went down. Ryan Murphy, who produces American Crime Story, I think they've already done two seasons. So season three, we found out on Tuesday that at the Television Critics Association summer press tour that it's going to focus on the saga of the Clinton presidency scandal with Monica Lewinsky. But the kicker is Monica Lewinsky is on board to produce. Here's why. This is what Ryan Murphy told The Hollywood Reporter in April. I told her, no one should tell your story but you. It's kind of gross if they do. If you want to produce it with me, I would love that.
Work.
But you should be the producer and you should make all the money.
Work. First of all, let me tell you something. I'm screaming in your ear, aren't I? Because yeah, I have the mic broken. It's like in my face. Secondly, Monica Lewinsky did not get a fair chance at life.
No.
Period.
She didn't.
Stormy Daniels
is a rock star.
It's like
now.
A national legend
yep.
for what she did. Monica Lewinsky, who was a baby, who gave a very small
oral situation to the president of the United States.
Life has been ruined ever since.
He was the leader of the free world, the most powerful man on the planet. And, you know, he flirts with you, makes you feel special. You probably have some low self-esteem issues. And you do a little, you know, slap and tickle with the first man. And then for the rest of your life, you're deemed
crucified.
A slut and a whore. It's not fair. And, you know, it was before Me Too culture and all those kind of things. And even though it was consensual, people could say that he used his power and privilege over her. I am thrilled they're telling this story. She did not get a fair shake. You are so right.
Wait, what do you think Hillary Clinton's doing? Like, not doing okay.
She's furious.
Like, lost the election, and now Monica Lewinsky's famous.
She is furiously steaming a pantsuit right now somewhere in a hotel. About
is
to
it
go
blue?
Give a speech. I don't know if it's
navy blue.
Navy blue? No, enough that she's wearing cream today because she wants the color of innocence.
Oh.
I don't know. Listen, the American Crime Story, which previously cast several key roles in high-profile stars, including Dennis Quaid as former George President Bush, Annette Bening as former Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco, Matthew Broderick as the former Federal Emergency Management Agent Director Michael D. Brown.
Love.
But moreover, here's the fascinating one. It's Sarah Paulson, who's going to be playing Linda Tripp, I believe. Monica Lewinsky will be played by Beanie Feldstein. That name sounds familiar. She was in Lady Bird. She was the best friend.
She was so good.
And Ryan Murphy's muse, it's basically this woman named Anna Lee Ashford. You've seen her on everything from Masters of Sex to A Lie of American Horror Story, one of Ryan Murphy's gems. She's going to be starring as Paula Jones. So this is going to be the show to walk. By the way, this isn't our production until, I believe, February, but it's going to premiere in September 27th, 2020 at 10 p.m. on
Oh, so we
got to
wait a year.
Yeah, they're not going to start shooting until February, so you know I'm going to try to get in on this.
Oh, Lord, come on. All right, you guys, well, coming up, we're going to be joined with Allie and Clayton from Drop the Subject. Maybe we'll talk to them about Monica Lewinsky.
I wonder if they think there's a Latin person in that storyline that I could play.
Or I wonder if they think this story sucks.
Season of American Crime Story. Obviously, Sarah Paulson will be back. A full all-star cast. What do you make of this?
What Monica is Sarah story... Paulson playing the dress? She can play anything, you know.
Not the dress.
I think she's playing Linda Tripp.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that. I guess I'm like, well, American Crime Story, why is there no murder involved? There's no murder
True.
Involved in this
Her
one.
Her career was murdered. Monica Lewinsky did not have a career for 20 years.
That was
years.
Career homicide.
I also just said Monica Lewinsky because that's what Lisa texted me during the break. She thought that
gosh.
Was very clever.
Well, she was a running joke for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, like that documentary about Lorena Bobbitt that mm-hmm. came out. And that I remember that
oh
time,
God,
too,
yes.
when that happened and everyone was just making jokes. And I mean, it was a different time where people could just joke about this stuff. Now people take this stuff a lot more.
But
seriously.
Also, the climate shift that we have Stormy Daniels just make mainstream as heck, just on The View and doing all the things and kind of, you know, like embracing her sexuality. I mean, this girl was also 20.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And the president got impeached. Well, sort
yeah,
of.
The president got impeached over that.
Over that.
And then people kind of forgot about it and they were like, oh, Bill,
yeah.
you're so great. You play saxophone. And it's like, but that happened, guys. Did we forget about that?
Mm-hmm. I just want to be in the Clintons' household today. Like, what is the tension
what do you
in
think,
the home?
What do you think Hillary's up to? We're debating that too.
Well, see, I wish that she had been elected in the first place because then she could have had her Monica moment.
Yeah.
Yes!
She could have had her Oval Office
Secret
experience.
Service, doing a little secret work.
Her pants
would have had some fluid on it.
Yes!
That's questionable.
It would have come from a man or a woman. Nobody knows.
Well, yeah.
This was her retribution. This was her chance for her retribution.
Jeez. You know what? We messed up as a society. Should have just given it to her.
So what's coming up for Drop the Subject today?
Well, we have a lot of stuff on deck. We have the GAMA, of course, because it's mm-hmm. Wednesday. We're also going to be reprising a game we did because I'm so bad with social media slang. So we're going to be playing Are You Smarter Than an Instagrammer, where they're going to give me some terms, you know, FYI obviously is an mm-hmm. easy one that I could get, but you know, there are many, many acronyms
give us another,
that I don't know.
One more example, because I find them difficult too, and I actually have to screen grab things, and I'll send it to a millennial, and they're like, that was a typo,
okay.
Don't overthink it.
Hold on a second, let me see, I've got one right here, mm-hmm. Let's stall for 1 second, Trill.
Oh.
Trill, what do you think it is?
I don't know.
What is it?
It's real?
Yeah. It is a combination of true and real.
Got it. Well, it's trill that we gotta go, but Drop the Subject is next, to keep it locked here.
Bye.
Bye.
The Morning Beat with Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.